Bibles to Matthew. We're going to start there, chapter 15. I don't do a whole lot of topical messages using the back. We are going through Leviticus on Sundays, believe it or not. And the kids love it. They're like, wow, that's different. And then the Gospel of John on Saturdays. And I'm kind of connecting because the Old Testament points to Jesus. We see in Leviticus a lot of the Levitical laws that Christ fulfilled, all the sacrifices. So it's really amazing what the Lord is doing, but we do verse by verse. So it is kind of a treat, but a little outside of my comfort zone on teaching a topical. And if you guys look in your bulletin, the topic is Christ first in your life? Okay, that's kind of a heavy concept. The first initial thing is, like, yeah, I'm a Christian. Sure he is. Is he really? Today is going to be a day of exhortation. Today is going to be a day of examining ourselves, where Christ really placed in our life. You know, sometimes he's right here, and sometimes he's down here. All right? It's kind of heavy. By our actions and our attitudes, what we may face. Different types of situations may contribute to that. But we need to understand that he needs to be in the forefront of our heart each and every day. We see a lot of people go to church and claim to be one thing, but it's another. And what we're looking here, and we're going to start here because there's a connection here. In John chapter 15, we see that Jesus is dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. These people who are calling themselves God's elect, God's chosen people, representative, guys that go to church, are actually supposed to lead people closer to God. But they had an outward facade. There was no inward change. There was no regeneration. There was no transformation. And we got to be careful because a lot of times there's a trap. When people go to church, they develop the Pharisee syndrome because it becomes religion and not a relationship. And guys, God wants everybody in this room, everyone who claims to be a child of God, to experience him on a personal, intimate level. Amen? Make sure I got you guys. You're just staring at me. It's all good. I'm used to it. But guys, we have to be careful to know who we are, who we really claim we are. So let's go ahead and look at this. Matthew chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, this is Jesus, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" He's putting them out there. "For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, 'Whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God.' Then he need not honor his mother or his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." Right here, he puts him on blast. "Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, 'These people draw near to me with their mouths. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine of the commandments of men.'" Again, back in Isaiah 29:13, he's prophesying about these guys. These guys, knowing the Old Testament, should know that Jesus is the Messiah, but they claim to have one thing, but they have another. And guys, sometimes we can get caught up in that. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying you're Pharisees. But how many times do we get watered down in our lives? Well, we know what to say, right? But the talk is not backed up by the walk. You've all heard that before. And again, I'm challenging you guys this morning, a time when we really need to shine bright for the Lord. There's a lot of bogus things out there that have great outward appearance that if you don't know the Word of God, you can buy right into that. Amen? The Bible says, test all spirits. You need to know what the Bible says so you're not going to be swayed in another way to be ripped off. I mean, if you look at the New Testament, the last few books, Paul hits on it. John hits on it. I just took the kids through Jude. It's only 25 chapters. We tore that thing apart, and it talks about false teaching. It was rampant back then. It's rampant now. You need to know what is true and what is false, and you have to make sure you are of the truth and not of the false. Guys, if we're just off just a little bit, then Satan can capitalize on that, right? You guys all heard the phrase, give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Ooh, how many's ever experienced that? You let your guard down, it's like, whoa, what happened? Where'd I go? Well, how'd that happen? There's the laugh. You guys got it. Can't get away from that one. But guys, I don't know how many times when I first read Isaiah, and when I first read Isaiah, I didn't know Jesus prophesied in Matthew way back in the day when I didn't know my Bible. It really, really like hit me hard. It's like, man, how many times do we do that? We honor him, but our actions are basically contradicting, and we're becoming hypocrites, and we're living in hypocrisy. Guys, if you're in rampant sin, if you haven't repented, and you're trying to minister to someone else, that's hypocrisy, right? But if you're a true child of God, then guess what? You will repent. You will get right before the Lord because the Holy Spirit is inside you screaming to get right. And that's what shows us who we are and the opposite. So anyways, turn with me. That was just my intro. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. And again, just remind you, putting Christ first in your life. Not saying, but backing it up with action. Because true faith produces what? Action. Faith without works is dead. We're not saved by works, but true faith develops that. And you will start seeing the characteristics and the love of God manifesting in us and through us. And that's very important. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 23 verses. But before we go there, just give you a little bit of background. It's written by Paul the Apostle in Rome during his first imprisonment. What I love about the Apostle Paul, soon as he gave his life to Christ, it was nothing but hardships, nothing but tribulation. The guy was incarcerated most of his ministry. And guess what? He used it not to get all whiny and a big baby like I get, but to use it as an opportunity to glorify God. And praise God, he was kicking back in the jail because he wrote a lot of the New Testament. So praise the Lord. See what God can do in you and through you, no matter what the circumstance is, if you just allow him. Guys, a lot of you guys are going through your own stuff. A lot of you guys know I have a lung disease, so I'm home a lot. And I really struggle with that. And I'm not going to lie, I still struggle with it. I have my moments. And I found out, you know, it's like, oh, I'm a pastor, read my Bible, I teach, I'm used, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? Lord pointed out, I'm selfish. Because when I'm at home, I want to be here. Like, what? It's because God wants me to stay home. Because I come here, I push myself, and guess what? I'm sick another week. So sometimes God allows these things to humble us, to break our pride, to get us into that place of brokenness so it's just him and I, because he wants to do business. You know, see how subtly that comes in there? I mean, I mean well wanting to come here, but God wants me home, so guess what? I'm being disobedient because of my selfishness. How many here have a situation that in your life? Maybe a different scenario, but the principle still applies. Putting Christ first in your life is 24/7. Be consistent. Every day. Being a disciple means to be what? Disciplined. Through the Word of God. Through active and responsible fellowship and study. The problem here that he was facing, that he was addressing in the church of Colossae, was false teaching was influencing the church and causing problems. Paul was addressing the false doctrine, which denied the deity of Christ. If anything denies the deity of Christ, don't get involved in it, guys. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is God. Lay that foundation now. Because there's so many different religions. There's even so many different people who call themselves Christians. Well, everything looks good on the outside, but you dig a little bit deeper, you're like, ooh, that's scary. I got caught up in that way back in the day, and I'm not going to, kids know what I'm talking about, but I'm not going to go there. I repented. But it's serious. I mean, something looks really good, and it says Jesus all over. They're used in the Bible, but how many times have you heard something, you just had this weird feeling, it's like, wait, that, but then you ignore it, because me is like, well, the guy's smarter than I am, so it's probably me. But then that Holy Spirit's like, no, something's not right. Then, awesome, God always allows his truth to come out using other people. I remember he, in this specific incident, he used Brian Broderson and nailed all of us youth pastors. It was great. We're all walking down like this. But we got to be careful. Satan comes in there. He's the deceiver. And he can paint a good picture. So you guys need to know the Word of God. And knowing the Word of God will keep him first and foremost in your lives, so you can continue to bring glory to him. Paul affirms that Christ is all, and we are made full in him and him alone. Colossians is a letter of spiritual maturity, as we see in the first 14 verses where we're going to go now. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. We give thanks, verse 3, to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard your faith in Christ and your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, and it has also in all the world, and is beginning forth fruit, and it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of our God is truth, or in truth. As you have learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. For this very reason, verse 9, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you. There's a lot of praying going on, huh? That is the greatest weapon we have, praying for one another. Each person should be praying for one another in this room to grow spiritually. Amen? That should be something on our hearts. When someone pops in your head, pray for them that they would grow in the Lord. Not legalistic, but realistic. Amen? Sorry, I'm saying amen a lot. I only do it when I come out here. It's a little weird. But again, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10 is a key, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. People, we need to strive for this. And this will show you every day, if you're striving for this, if you're putting them back up there, because it's easy to push them off to the side. I'm going to read that verse again. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These things are obtainable, or the Bible wouldn't say so. Verse 11, strengthen with all might according to his glory power for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Means we get eternal life. He who has delivered us, verse 13, from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son and his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. What I love about this first part is talking for them to understand who Christ is. We're going to get into how Paul talks about how the Father has given Jesus preeminence, superiority over everything, laid everything in his hands. That's why it's all about Jesus. Get it? That's why you go through him and him alone. There's no other avenues. There's no wiggle room. Period. But guys, again, like I shared earlier, this part is a plea for spiritual maturity. It's time to grow. Let's turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. You guys know this verse. So I'm just going to give you guys some one-liners. This is power-packed that we need to be reminded of, because this is an exhortation to you guys. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently, here we go, diligently seek him. Faith is the first mark of mature fellowship with God. You guys understand that? You are saved by grace through faith. We're believing in something we can't see. So to develop your faith, you need to read the Word of God. You need to be in constant fellowship to keep him up there. Because he talks about In James, if we doubt, what happens? We're tossed around to and fro. We're unstable in our ways, become double-minded. And how many here, you don't have to, I'll raise my hand, I've done it. I'm honest. But when he corrects you, what do you simply do? Respond. Guys, it's not watering this down, and I'm not using this as a license to be special. But he shows a lot of grace, but his grace should train us into spiritual maturity. Amen? Very important. Turn with me, because then as we grow spiritually, and faith is the first mark of fellowship with God, the mature area, let's look at John 13:35. Let's start with verse 34, John 13:34. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples in the upper room. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love, also love one another. And here's the key verse. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If Christ is not on the forefront of your heart, there we go. How are you really loving one another? Think about that. Ask you, this is a time of examination. If you can't get along with your neighbor, if you can't get along with your spouse, if you can't get along with one another, period, then how is your relationship with God? Because God wants us to love one another, right? In a realistic way. It's praying for that person. Sometimes if the people don't respond, then we just step back and pray for them. But we can't backbite. We can't be gossiping, because we all fall into that trap, don't we? If we put Christ first in our lives, then we'll have that strong conviction of the Holy Spirit to keep us from falling into these traps. That is a very important part of this, people. But I love that. They'll know us by our love for one another. Guys, I think that's one of the keyest things. I think I heard Wendell say this. We probably both jacked it from a pastor. But, and I know Leanne shared it with the kids yesterday. The only Bible that people may read is us. You know what I'm saying? That people, we should be a reflection of Christ. You know, he is the light of the world, right? And we're supposed to be little light shining around. But we need to be consistent. You know, this is going to drill this in your head. You're going to walk around and put Christ first in life. Become cultic. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's some giggles. Other people think this guy is crazy. But guys, these are things we need to know to grow and to have a solid understanding of our faith. If someone asks you, why do you believe what you believe in? Can you give them an answer? The Bible says, give every man an answer for the hope that lies within you. Can you break it down and be able to share the good news with somebody effectively? You know, I always, you know, diss the kids, not on purpose, but I've done it to adults too, and I just straight up ask them. I just kind of front them out. Why do you believe what you believe in? The Bible says so. Come on now. We've got to give them a legitimate answer why we believe in what Christ has done in our lives. Amen? And it's no to the scripture. You're not beating people with the Bible and just, you know, going nuts. But lovingly take what God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit as we put him first in our lives so we can minister to one another. Basics. Why and how we are saved. Do you know that you really are? Turn with me back, if you're not already there, to Colossians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 15 through 19. Verse 15, he, speaking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. And things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Excuse me. And he is the head, verse 18, of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things that he may have preeminence or superiority. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness shall dwell. So as the God the Father has given Jesus everything. Shouldn't we also? Shouldn't we give him every aspect of our hearts and stop giving him pieces? I don't know how many times through my, it's been 15 years since I've been walking with the Lord. 15 years as how many times I've held back from him. And what it did, not just to me, but to people around me. See how easy it is to get ripped off from the enemy when you just let your guard down, when you know, you put something else before the Lord? You guys can be doing so good, keeping the Lord the center of your life, and all of a sudden you're tested when something comes in and if it can become an idol or not. You know, it can become anything. It can become a relationship. It can become a child, a job, a car, whatever. Whatever is your priority, maybe that's the first thing on your heart. Think about that. What's our priority? Our priority and our urgency should be a deep relationship with God so he can be using us to reach those who do not know him. He's coming back for his church, people, very soon. And it's time to buckle down and do our part. Okay, I'm speaking to adults, man. We got to do our thing. We got to do our thing and start praying for these youngins so they can do it. But we need to be examples, right? Because if we're dropping the ball, then how can we not expect them to? You know, being a youth pastor is hard. It's accountability, man. It's like, ooh, sign up for this. You know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't have it any other way because it keeps me exactly where I need to be. So wherever God has you for whatever purpose, rejoice. Count it all joy, people. The verses I just read, just breaking it down. In these verses, we see that Jesus is 100% God, superior over everything, and in him and him alone, things consist. He is our foundation. Is he your foundation? Is he the rock that you stand on? Are you laying the cement of Jesus every day to build a stronger relationship with the Father, empowered by the Holy Spirit? We can't do this. Come on now. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit in us, creating us, given the power to use our spiritual gifts, to continue to understand the scriptures, to draw closer to him. God gave Jesus power over everything. We need to give him power over everything in our lives. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Starting with verse 35. John chapter 3, verse 35. And it's just backing up the scripture. Scripture, you know, backing up scripture. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Right there. Verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Again, it's cut and dry, guys. First of all, we need to be solid. I don't know how many times that I've watched these kids grow up, and even some adults, and they go to college, and all of a sudden they get influenced by this philosophy or whatever this stuff is, and they start doubting everything that they were taught when they were younger. I know people who are my age going to a college that was a Christian college, was a little liberal, and all of a sudden they denounce God. And now they believe in evolution and all that stuff. It happens, guys. So don't be scared, but be challenged. Not to be a statistic. Oh, I got that. The kid's like, yeah, he got it, because I can't really say that. But make sure you know where you're at, that you are not going to be swayed away, because if it wasn't such a big deal, then I don't think a lot of the authors of the New Testament would be worrying us about false teaching. Know what you know by knowing the scriptures and testing all things. And that's, again, going back to putting him first, right? Because if you're not putting him first, you're leaving room for danger. Turn back with me to Colossians. Let's finish up the verses, starting with verse 20. Again, talking about being reconciled in Christ and by him. Colossians 1:20. By him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through the death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Here's the key. If indeed, verse 23, if indeed you continue in your faith, grounded, being steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to you, every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Guys, we need to continue in our faith, the true faith, being steadfast and grounded in Jesus Christ. It's a simple message, guys, but we need to be reminded. You know, I talked to these kids, I probably already said this, a couple weeks ago, it's been revised a little bit, but we need to hear it. I was praying, okay, what should I teach? Because that's always a challenge when you come up here. It's like, whoa. But the Lord's like, you know what? They need to hear it too. Because when I study for this stuff, man, I get it. You know, and we need it. We need to be reminded. The reconciling work of Christ, the verses I just read, check this out. Sin's effect was universal. From one man's sin, Adam, placing all creation of odds with God and itself. The death of Christ restored harmony and fellowship between God and man. If man would be reconciled to Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're going to see our responsibilities. We put Christ first, what we need to continue to do with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 18. Very, very familiar verses. Again, this is Paul the Apostle speaking to the church of Corinth. In verse 18, it says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see our responsibility? And the only way we're really going to give a rip, and I can use that because Pastor Mark does, is putting him first. Guys, what happens when you're out in the secular world and you're around people that you know that aren't saved just by the conversation and just the vibe? Do you stop and pray for them? Or do you care? Because the more you're in the Word of God, the more you're going to start caring about spiritual things. Again, I'm not perfect at it. But one thing, man, when I hang out with the kids a lot, we go to different things, and, you know, we're kind of big on Disneyland, so you got all kinds of crazy people there. I start praying for people while I'm in line. You know what? I did this. I'll do it. I don't care. I'll confess my sin to you guys. We're at Disneyland on Sunday, a group of us, and we were on Space Mountain. And there's a group of kids that were driving me absolutely nuts. They were probably young adults. And, man, Again, I got in the flesh. I didn't do anything, but I thought it, and that's just as bad. I wanted to turn around and just sock someone and tell them to be quiet. I was not enjoying this ride because of you, okay? So I'm just sitting there, and I did not have a good time on this ride. Space Mountain's cool. So I'm sitting there all disgruntled the whole time, not praying like I should have been for these people, like, Lord, yeah, you know what they're doing. It's bothering me, but do they know you? Maybe open a door so I can talk to them. You know, and again, I'm a pastor, so that's really even worse. And then when you get out and you see, you know, the pictures that they take of you, the silly pictures, they're right behind me. And they're screaming, and I'm sitting there, and under my breath, I'm like, can you stop, please? And then I got really convicted, and I had to repent. They left, so I didn't get a chance to talk to them. You know, that's my cop-out. But do you see what I'm saying? We're all human, but I did repent. But see, I blew an opportunity. I blew an opportunity to share with these people that nobody else would touch them with a stick. You know what I'm saying? But it's just the simple things like that. You know, I felt, you know, I just, you know, I didn't condemn myself, but man, I just missed an opportunity. You know, because these are kids, man. They're supposed to be like this. They're having fun. They're at Disneyland. Come on. I need to show some grace, right? Wasn't happening. But anyways... Serious, I mean, I know a lot of you guys can reflect on this about our attitudes when something rubs us the wrong way. People are spiritual sandpaper. Just getting off all the garbage so the Spirit and His fullness can overflow onto them. Amen? That's what we need, guys. Crazy stuff. but we need to be ambassadors, true ambassadors. We need to know the scriptures. We need to know the spiritual truths to strengthen our faith and to be steadfast so we will not be pulled away by false teaching so we can grow. And again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 that I just read says, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are called to share the gospel, to explain the good news to the world. But we need to know how by using the Word of God. By a raise of hands, and this is not to make us look all good, because again, anything we do is not from us, it's from the Holy Spirit, amen? But how many in this room has been used by God to lead someone to Christ? Well, praise the Lord. That's what we're called to do. And that's only by we put Christ first. And as we have a fullness, baptized afresh in the Holy Spirit to go out and shine bright for Him. So here's the plan of salvation, to explain the gospel from God's word to help others witness to others. I don't have time. I got to go a little bit faster, but I'm going to kind of quote very badly or paraphrase. There we go. 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul's exhorting Timothy to be a good workman, to rightly divine the word of truth. You guys know the scripture. You guys need to know the scripture, rightly divining, not misinterpreting. You need to know it in context so you can grow by, know exactly what the author is trying to say and get across so we can utilize it to apply it in our lives. Because if we understand some, we have all this knowledge, but what good is it if we can't apply it to our lives, right? Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And we need to use it for His glory. In closing, I'm going to have the band come on up because we're going to do communion in a few minutes. But putting Christ first and living in godliness means living as God instructs. Let me say that again. This is important. Putting Christ first and living in godliness means living as God instructs us to live, not the way we think. Amen? Sometimes we become the instructors of our lives. We have to surrender to Him. We've been bought with a price, and our lives are not ours. We've given up those rights. As Paul says it, as James says it, as Jude says, we are bond servants for His glory. This involves studying, applying the Word of God through the Scriptures. Guys, and this is so true, and this where the whole disciple discipline thing comes kicking in, by devoting yourself to responsible Bible study. Not just putting in your time, not just reading your Bible because you know that's what Christians do. We do it so we can experience God, to be washed by the Word, to be cleansed by the Word, to be transformed by the Word, to continue to have the understanding of how He wants that, His desires to become our desires. All those things kick in. Again, by devoting yourself to responsible Bible study, become a sensible interpreter of the Scriptures. Turn with me to some last group of Scriptures as 2 Peter chapter 1. We're going to go ahead and start. I get there myself. In verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Check this out. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertaining to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Check this out, verse 3. By His divine power given to us that pertains in life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, they're all over the Bible, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also this very reason. Guys, this is faithful growth in our faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, You will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of your Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sin. We fall into that, guys. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, there's a promise, you will never stumble. For so an interest will be supplied to you abundantly. I like that. Abundantly means a lot. Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your precious Son. We thank you for doing what you did just because you love us. But Lord, as we are awaiting for us to receive our inheritance, Lord, help us to live a life that brings glory to you by putting you first in our lives. Lord, not making excuses, but seeing these things, and as you show us, as we are diligently seeking you and the Spirit is speaking, we would respond. So Lord, as your word went out forth with boldness, with power, because your Spirit is pouring out right now, Lord, help us, Lord, to examine where we are really at and where we need to be, and how much more we need to draw closer to you, that we can be true witnesses, true lights to this dark world. So Father, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to do communion. So I'm going to have the fellows come on up. What we're doing, if you guys don't know, we do this once a month. We're doing communion. Basically, Jesus initiated this in the upper room the night he was betrayed, before he was murdered, to the 12. And we're doing this remembrance of his love, guys. Again, we'll share this a little bit more, but the bread that represents his body broken for us, and the blood that was paid as that precious sacrifice for our sins. So Father, again, we thank you for this, what this bread represents. It represents your love by going over and beyond anything we can ever imagine just for us. Lord, help us to enter into that love relationship, appreciating everything you did, having that reverence, that fear, Lord, that we could serve you with everything we have, our entire being, every fiber, that every day we would learn how to put you more right where you belong, Lord. Father, I know when we do go this or there, Lord, you're right there with your grace and lovingly get us back up. So, Lord, again, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Jerry, don't matter. Pray for the cup.
Father, we just come before you. Lord, that we're nothing. You don't need us, but we do need you, Lord. And we just ask that your Spirit would just fall on everyone here, Lord, and just cover us with your blood, Lord, and forgive us our sins and lead us through the week. And we give you the praise and the glory for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Everybody, please stand. And give thanks. Father, we just continue, Lord. We can't pray enough. We thank you so much for the sacrifice you made for each of us. Again, we thank you for what this represents. Let this be a time of cleansing, a time of renewal, a time of repentance, a time of drawing closer to you. Whatever it is between each individual in this room, let it happen. So Lord, help us not to walk away from this building not changed. Change us. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for taking our place and paying our price. So we give you this day in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. You guys need prayer. The prayer room is open. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you want to, please talk to one of us. This is why we're here. Okay? If you need prayer, bring it. Amen?